have a few children that I'm going to be speaking first. And I want to apologize to the father. And so I would like to call first Jeff for the back. Oh.
Please.
Okay. Oh, Lee. Please. Brother.
Let's see if I can get through this without breaking down. Mi hermano. Jacob and Yosef Cordova. My brother Jack is 12 years my senior. So I was the little kid who came after my sister, 15 years older than me and Jack. My mother said, I didn't know I could get this could happen to me. Miracle. So I came. I have a recollection when I was two or three. It's hard to remember exactly how. It was one of those memories of Jack. So he was supposed to be with me while my parents went out for the evening. But as so often happened, we needed me beyond a couple houses away at the distance. His friends, his closest friend of mine. So Jack left me by myself. And I woke up in the middle of the night. There's nobody there. So being two or three, what did I do? I got up. Padded in my little feet out the door, up two houses. I must have put up a knock. I think I did knock. Let me in. And he took a look at me, took a look at everybody around, you know, and figured out that it was what he had to do. Put me on his shoulders to get a picture of this. So, the next memory I had, of course, is sharing a bedroom with him. After that, the next memory was visiting him at Harvard. Why was he at Harvard? Something had happened to him. He had, in the day, when you used to have running boards at running boards on cars, Jack was standing on the running board with his head inside. And one of his friends made a sharp turn, and I guess what happened to Jack, he ended up breaking his jaw. The next 6 weeks after he came home, he had his soft beginning of soft diet. Jack was 16 when he started the University of Washington. He'd be a pharmacist. Why he went into the pharmacy, I have no clue. Obviously, loved the whole idea. Graduated when he was 20. Thought he was going to be in the Air Force. There's only one problem. So Jack became joined the Naval Reserve and spent the next several years as a pharmacist in the Union. Remember that. Jack also worked in pharmacies, and I remember in the old house on 25th, we also related to Jack bringing us home everything we needed. Mustard plaster. Does anybody remember mustard plaster? You know, it's when you got a chest cold and slap this thing on and heat it up. Remember bringing in vitamins, this horrible tasting stuff. My wife remembers getting away from my work. Once he started working at Georgetown Pharmacy, for Ed Raskin, eventually he started having a very important store on the stock. I was always impressed with the fact that he had this wonderful relationship with his customers. They loved him, he loved them. They would also ask Jack, hey Jack, is there anything you can have for my boss? Prescribing a license to be good. He walked over and grabbed something off the shelf and said, this stuff is really good. And they all that. Well, as one of the Washingtonians, I thought I was going to live in Seattle forever and decided to move to Oregon, closer to Terry's family, and so we moved to Oregon. But Jack and Barbara would come to visit us in the summer, so we would climb to the beach and we thought, you know, our kids, and I think they helped us back. I remember the time that we went on a Caribbean cruise with Barbara and Jack. We visited some Mayan ruins. We also went on a safari trip sponsored by the community in Portland. We went to Turkey, Rhodes. Jack and I climbed up to the park building. And now we get it. Quite an accomplishment. I remember in the Sephardic synagogue in Istanbul, Jack asked at lunch, able to speak Filipino with everybody in the community. They finally decided to move to Seward Park several years ago and moved to Ages, which was Jack's second career. Jack learned to play bridge. I don't know where that came from. He had a remarkable acting career. And those of you that are interested in giving the reference to find his bank robber escapade, which learned to play bridge, and the remarkable thing is that his bridge partner was one of my classmates. We talked every Thursday, and after his hearing failed him, he was able to use voice effects. And despite his lack of hearing, he was able to hear me, although there was a bit of a lag. And that worked out pretty well. And we chatted about asking how he was doing, and we asked him our kids. I think that was remarkable. About three months ago, he's had some medical issues in the hospital for a couple of weeks and then went for a while. Now he went back home to a smaller place. Obviously, it's something that can help people living in the hospital. We saw Jack the last time about a month ago. He's happy that we saw him. We took him outside to enjoy the flowers. He had given the staff a moolah on the last I suspected that maybe it was in the last year, so I gave him a kiss. Told him I loved him. It's very good.
And their original film production of the Lollipop Game. If you want to watch it, it's really hysterical. The Flower Pot Game were a group of criminal women running around with walkers. So it's quite something. It's on YouTube. He also played the mother in Jack and the Beanstalk. And he was a little worried it wasn't quite kosher or appropriate for a religious man to be cross-dressing in the play. But he was a good sport about it. In Ages, they had music fests, and he sang, albeit terribly. He put his all into it, rehearsing for days on end. One of his hits, which unfortunately the family and some friends have heard, is I'm an Okie from Muskogee. And after my mother passed away, he tended to pick more romantic songs like the way we were. I'm just going to go from this from memory also. I'm going to go on a little bit longer, and if you want to blame somebody, it's Andrea's fault, because she wanted me to tell the story. After my dad passed away Thursday morning, after sitting with him for quite a while, I went out into the hall outside his room to make some phone calls to my dear family and friends. As my uncle Lee mentioned, when Dad was in the hospital March 1st, and then he went to Pine Gallon for 3 months, the decision was made to move him into a smaller room so he could maneuver more easily. The mezuzah was taken off of his old room, and for the months of April and May, it sat on his desk. He was waiting for the rabbi to come put it up. And I saw him every day or every other day. The mezuzah was there on the desk. And then while I was outside his room making calls, I looked at the door and the mezuzah miraculously was up. And I just seen it the day before. I'm going, what is going on? And it turned out that Rabbi Kornfeld came by Wednesday, late afternoon, and put up the mezuzah for him. And Dad had the prayer book open to the page for the rabbi to put up the mezuzah.
The Sephardic prayer.
Thank you for that, David. Yes, yes. And then passed away Thursday morning, peacefully and asleep. And I think the rest of the family feels that he was just waiting for that to be on the door. Just a few more things. This is going to be from two more things, and I promise I'm going to go. In closing, I'd like to thank my company, Auntie Sherry, for always having an ear for me and for giving me advice when I asked for it. They didn't give me advice unless I asked for it. And they also checked on me and wanted to make sure I was taking care of myself while taking care of my father. And lastly, yesterday, if my parents had been alive, it would have been their 72nd wedding anniversary. The last words my father said to my mother were, "I will see you soon. I really hope they're united once more." One of the songs my father sang at the music fest, dedicating it to my mother after she was gone, was Jerome Kern's "All the Things You Are." There's a lyric in that song that says, "The dearest things I know you are, and one day my happy arms will hold you." I truly hope this is so. Thank you all.
Thank you. Setback.
who's always resilient when the fire gets hit back. Because we're actually going to work out physically. That son was very difficult to watch. You know, felt helpless. The man I so truly loved and admired was fading away from my eyes. Sorry. He fought it till he could fight no more. My only soul is sincere, peace in the hands of God. My siblings and I would like to thank the entire support community and SVH congregation for the kindness and respect everybody on the show. It truly warmed our hearts to see this. We would like to thank Reverend Desmond King for honoring my father's day. And my biggest thanks go to two of the most caring women I know. My sister, for her selfless dedication in helping my father. He at times can be stubborn and difficult and managing around that. Sometimes I don't know how. My wife, Andrea, she always treated my dad like he was her own father. You were patient and understanding, but it was many of us close. And I'll tell you, my dad, I used for a sheet. he would give me his underwear and t-shirts and say, "Can Andrea sew it?" Really, Dad? He wanted it done, so he did it done. Andrea always helped him with his technology issues. I share a few final memories with you. The first was at Passover this year. I asked him if there was anything he wanted to say. He told us he could never imagine that one day he would be surrounded by a family that had evolved from he and my mother into a blessed man. For all of us that were there, it was very touching to see because my dad, secondly, he truly loved his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and they were his prized possession. A little over 10 weeks ago, his third great-grandchild, Jack Vernon, was born. And my son went to Charles. Jason, his wife, met my brother, Jack, when he was my dad about 10 days before he passed. Although he was run down, Dad started talking to him. Held his hand and began giving him some advice. The next day, my daughter Shannon's two girls came to visit him, as well as my cousin Alan and Lisa, his wife Lisa, who were in town. The next day, and later that day, my brother and his best friend Stuart were also able to visit him. He rallied again despite being tired. Family always brought out the best of him. My wife and I had a trip planned for about
intense, and I, you know, he's retired about a year from now. From almost 39 years of big deal, I guess, getting your retirement party. So it's a big deal to get your close colleagues and your family and some of my clients. But it's, I just always assumed he was going to be able to be there. And it was becoming apparent, that he might not make it. I guess I'll use this opportunity, if you can hear, and I know where you can, to hear some of the things that I do plan to say, but I would have wanted him to hear. So, you know, you've heard already, he ran and operated Georgetown Pharmacy for 47 years. It always stuck with me, and till this day, it's really a source of pride that someone can persevere like that. You know, Jeff, you've heard stuff about performance. I'm not going to repeat everything. Jeff did a great job of giving homage to what we all collectively learned from the experience, not just us three siblings, but the grandkids. We've heard about that. And, even my mom learned some responsibility. You know, she had to make sure, no, you don't think so? She had to make sure that the books and the magazines, they were all okay. Anybody remembers Barbara at the store? But I do want to give thanks to Dad and Sherwood. My kids are in the way for our first Jeffrey mentioned the period 37. There he is. But that's not 47, right? Maybe will. I don't know. I have to go, but maybe. And you know, people ask you, why did you stay for 39 years, and how did you survive that long? And my initial reaction is, but it's in our DNA. It's just part of who we are, right? But is that what it really is, or is that just an excuse? And as I was contemplating all this, I thought, but why would Jack have kept that store going until me? Right? It's not because he didn't have other interests in any of us that saw Jack in his 80s and into his early 90s. He was a dynamo, you know, he was a client, he was a week, he was at the Veterans Hospital. Obviously, we're here, the Spartan Brotherhood in his secretarial duties, watching him try to figure out how to use the computer. Many of us had opportunities to help him as technology experts to get things up, but he was a busy guy, not to mention the cost for posts and others. So it wasn't like, well, I like to see people working for him. I mean, you know, he kept going because people depended on him. And as long as that was the case, he was going to show up, and not just show up, but exceed their expectations. Because that's just what you do in a customer service or business. There's no negotiation there, it's just what we do. And you know, all of us get significant sense in the store. For me, it was when I was 14 till my early 20s, and basically it was every day after school and at home in the summers. And by the way, this aside, Georgetown Pharmacy on a day like this, well, we didn't set me up. And to make sure the chocolates didn't melt. Oh, seriously, no, that was stressful. But anyway, through that experience, I saw how he interacted with people. Right? and how they look to him and what that meant to him. And whether I knew it at the time, those experiences played a huge role in formulating who I was thinking. And now it's my entire thing. As I now reflect at the end of my tenure, it really is eerie how much those experiences have been. And how fortunate I was in all those days. Jeff said it too, he was so disappointed. It wasn't the childhood where dad comes home and coaches your baseball team, right? I wasn't it. You were lucky if you didn't get one. But when you worked at the store, you had a lot of togetherness. And you really got to know him. And that's very fortunate. And, you know, I see my three boys there. And unless dad has some second act that I don't know what that is, Michelle's looking at that. You know, we're not going to have that opportunity. I feel sorry about the practice. Anyway, it's pretty fortunate. I will cherish our, especially one of the other retirements that you liked a lot. You bought the room in the house, you lived in the concert park, you know that. Got a little slower over time, but it was, that was special moment. He accompanied me when I drove to Denver, and I was just a taxi trip. That was fun. I had a conference in Spain, like 96, so he said, yeah, I'll go with you. So we had 10 days starting the North Carolina, to the little South trip. That was special. Jack and dinner in Spain, those things don't tell. Yeah, I know what Kent was in the You got through. We went on a federation trip together in 2004, which is neat. Like my wonderful time. It's very special, I hope. The one very memorable thing of is they had a trip to Masada, great, yeah, and there you go, I mean. And the next stop after Masada was and there was the Dead Sea. Jack was really excited to be in the Dead Sea. Unfortunately, he tripped and cut himself, and besides the name was all like, let's just say he wasn't going to the Dead Sea. But, Jeffrey mentioned already about our time at SBH since last, but I'm really still watching NASA from that. And we were taking a week Saturday, just Jeffrey and it made me proud of that. That's very special. High holidays, we even got to wait for some folks from time to time, which wasn't something that was really special. I appreciate that memory. So, Dad, I'm forever grateful. You did good. You did good. I think we all turned out okay. We'll walk. Yeah. Miss you and Miss Mom. You guys are great.
You guys remember that? Yeah. And how could one forget his priceless words against them? The majority of the time, I had absolutely no idea what he was rambling on about, but I would just nod my head with a smile. And I remember he used to joke about how we need to go rescue our significant others from one-on-one conversations that they were having. Until now, though, I didn't realize how much I would miss those words of wisdom conversations. As Papu got older, we would update him on our lives. He always seemed to have a very distinctive response of, "Oh, that's very nice." I could still hear him saying it in his particular monotone voice. I always cherish the memory of when Madeline and I told him she was pregnant with a baby boy and that we were going to name him Jack after him. I don't remember Papu ever being much of an emotional man, but in that moment you could sense the deep pride and happiness and gratitude that he had on his face. Jack was a humble, honorable, and incredibly hardworking man who cared deeply for his family and never seemed to miss a birthday or family event when we were growing up, especially after his forced retirement from his kids. Mal and I couldn't have been more honored to name our son after. I lost most of my grandparents too young, but our sweet, stubborn Papu lives long enough to see Mal and I get married and to meet his great-grandson Jack just a couple weeks ago. It meant the world for us, for the Jacks to meet, and I'm sure Papu felt the same. During that visit, I was feeding baby Jack, and Papu, out of nowhere, cracks a joke and says, "The next bottle is on your parents, kid." Even with Papu clearly feeling the effects of his older age, it was so special and joyful to see him being able to joke like that, and what a wonderful last memory for us to have with him. One day we'll be able to share the photos of that day with our Jack and get to relive it all over again. May his memory be a blessing. I love him. Hardship, ease, or whatever.
talked about me and was Bryce Trump saying that we asked as such.
Perfume that lingers with us long after the vine is no longer in our hand, so the fragrance of a beautiful life enjoys an immortality that does not readily pass away. Therefore, though a man may have physically passed from the world, as long as there are people whose lives have been touched by his life, he continues to live on beyond the grave. Family, friend, and neighbor, when we review the lifetime of a person, don't remember everything. And they choose from what they have experienced with Jack Cordova. Career in association with others, those memories are continuing meaning for them. And these memories are really the living influence in the life. Jack Cordova, there is the road of relating to Jack Cordova. And the wonderful memory of his life. He was born in Seattle in 1929 to Joseph and Laura Cordova. And you know the story, I'm not going to lengthen. I have a lot of notes in here, but it's part of the family and the children, the grandchildren mentioned. But he was spending time and energy to do so much for other people that he saw the fragile, the people who need help. That was a mission in his life, and including multiple Volunteer of the Year awards at the Klein-Galan Home, regular visit to veteran hospital, and countless hours of service as secretary to his beloved Sephardic Brotherhood, and known to all as a bastion of integrity and commitment, as he was mentioned, in the community service and infallible customer service of ethic. So Jack leave a legacy that goes back to an old school mentality that is timeless in his contribution to the betterment of society. Jack and Barbara, they were one unit. There was a lot of love that I can see from the children's reciprocity with their dad and as it was also with their mom. And it used to be called doctor, that's what I heard. It used to give free advice. Personal medicine to members of our synagogue, like Mrs. Benaroya, Rabbi Victor Chacon, and this was before Amazon. He was Secretary Emeritus of Seattle Safari Brotherhood until COVID, and from 2009-2020 volunteered in Klein-Galan Home to play bingo, poker, whose chairs, everybody, volunteer in hospital, get groceries for people. What an incredible way to retire. And that's what he was. And his Barbara, his wonderful Barbara, passed away in 2022. The thing that I, as a rabbi, Sephardic people for him could see only how wonderful the children made their business to see that God would come to the synagogue every Shabbat. I know Lynn worked very hard in the other department looking after people, but for the synagogue, yes. Jeff and David, and always to be there. This is reciprocal love. What he invests, he gets. You know, they used to bring him, even when they couldn't bring him, then John Calvo or Alan Sarfon would pick him up to SBH. Because SBH finally would have won his second home. You know, this is love. But love is very complex. There's a lot of emotion when you talk about love. In Shir HaShirim, the Song of Song, King Solomon says about love, and I wrote a little bit about it myself, but he wrote so brilliantly, he said, Ki azaka mavet ahava, kashak ishkol kin'a, v'shafea vishpe es alemetia. He said, love is so difficult, so strong, so powerful, even supersede death. That's what love is. Some people, for the love somebody else will give you his life or a life. And it's like a fire. There's a lot of emotion. To the point that King Solomon said, Mayim rabim lo yuchelu lechabot et ava. Great water will not put down the love, no matter how much you flush water into it. That's how love is. Well, you, the children, gave tremendous pleasure to your parents as a mother, son, and daughter, and I could feel the love at home reciprocally. Now, this is the ones I wrote and would like to read it for you. What love, in my opinion? Rough. Love comes in different emotion, many shapes. Sometimes it's even hard even to understand. But it's still love because you care about the person. Love is like a resting place, a shelter from the storm. It exists to give you comfort. It is there to keep you warm. And in those times of trouble, when you are most alone, the memory of love will always bring you home. Perhaps love is like a window, perhaps an open door. Invites you to come closer, and it makes want you to show you more. And even if you lose yourself and don't know what to do, remember, the memory of love will always see you through. For love to some is like a cloud, to some as strong as steel, for some a way of living, and for some a way to feel. Some say love is holding on, and some say letting go. Some say love is everything, and some say, I don't know. Perhaps love is like the ocean, full of conflict and full of pain, like a fire when it is cold outside, and like thunder when it rains. Because even if I should live forever, and all my dreams come true, my memory of love will always be of you, and that is what you remember. Let me leave you with a thought about life, and what you should think about our beloved Jack. A husband, he was wonderful. Father, Grandpa too, this is the legacy we have from you. You taught us love, and this is what we're thinking of, and how to fight. You gave us strength, resilience, and you gave us mind. Strong and a determined person will be hard to find. In your heart, to everybody, you were always kind. Was Jack. You were our role model, and you fought for us all in one way or another. Not just as a husband and grandpa, not just as a father. For all of us, you were our pride, and you gave your best. But now the time has come, after all you went through, to go for rest. So go in peace with all your great deeds you have earned, your sleep. Your love in our heart will never fade, and we will eternally keep. You can shed tear that is no more with us, that is gone, or you can smile, because for a long time he has lived with you all. You can close your eyes and pray that he will come back, or you can open your eyes and see all he's left and done. Your heart can be empty at this moment because you can't see him. You can be full of the love you shared with him. You can turn your back on tomorrow and live yesterday. Or you can be happy for tomorrow because of yesterday and because of him. You can remember him, that he is no more, and only that he is gone. Or you can cherish his memory and let him be gone. You can try and close your mind, be empty and feeling bad, or you can do what you want. He will want you all. Smile. Open your eyes. Love. And go on. Finish my daughter, Rabbi Torah, Haim, and Eden. May so be bound up with the water of life.
Amen.
Amen.